Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening on Tuesday afternoon Bible study. Hallelujah. It's a good day to be alive. Amen. We can say that as long as we're not on the highways in Houston driving. Hallelujah. It's nothing like the joy of running up down the highways in this traffic. It's been a few weeks since I've been downtown Houston. I went down there today and I said, my goodness. You get inside of downtown, you forget how big it is till you're there. It's always good to look at it from the outward view. My, when you look at it from that perspective, we was meeting with the folks from the George R. Brown, getting ready for peak and just doing a few things that we had to get done. I was able to sit down there on the sidewalk and inside and eat a little lunch. And as I began to look up at those monstrosity of buildings, the magnitude, the steel, the concrete, everything that's down there. It was like I could just feel his voice saying, if you think this is big, it's nothing. It gives us a visual of how big God really is. My, my. Hallelujah. I want to move quickly tonight because sake of time and just opening my heart to you. There's going to be a lot of noise from kids' class, and that's just wonderful because I'm telling you what, there is a lot of work going into that tonight. And it is worth every holler and scream that you can hear. I have really felt it strongly. Of course, we've bounced around with finance, with unity, with prayer. But I'm going in that same direction of unity again. Because as I said on Sunday night, I felt like the Lord said there's an opening of door of opportunity for us as the body of Christ to draw from each other. But there's things that we can have in the Spirit that there's a freedom that normally is not there, because when God pushes back certain struggles and certain things in the spirit realm, nothing can come in and phase and interrupt what God is already doing. I felt strongly that he gives this to every generation. There is a time frame in a generation where God allows mankind to make a choice. I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to get all of God I can. And I'm going to fulfill everything in his will for my life without having to deal with certain things and principalities and powers. I feel such a liberty in the Holy Ghost tonight. I walked in the prayer room again, and it's like the third day, and I'm just saying, man, this is going to get to be spoiling because there's such a spiritual flow. Psalms 133 and 1. Very familiar scripture again. If you'll allow me, I'm going to move, but I am going to focus, but move quickly in the beginning. It's good to have our guest here. I want to, as you're turning there to Psalms, give honor to a soldier of the kingdom, Sister Creel, passed away today also. They were part of this church. Brother Creel was the builder of the first building that was ever on this property. Brother Timothy Creel, who's gone on before the Lord as bishop, but Sister Creel, his wife, left this world and received her reward today. But we want to give honor to her for a life that was well given to God. be in prayer for that family. I know it's a major loss for them also. 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Sometimes repetition becomes of question, but I believe that sometimes we have to be reminded over and over again to fulfill the purpose of God. As it is in my life, there's things that God has to give me continually all the time. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In the very beginning, before I move into verse 2, it is an era of time in this world where anywhere you look in the physical, you will see the negatives of the world we live in. The pressure, the jealousy, the envy, the strife, the questions of everything that's going on with life. There's always problems in life because of humanity. I believe we can all look at each other, not at each other, but with each other in a mirror, a reflection, and realize there's days we wake up, we just have a bad attitude. May I be transparent tonight? There's days we get up and it's just not a good day, it's a bad day. We slept on the wrong side of the bed. We can satisfy ourselves with excuses over and over again, but we live in a world that is full of pressure. But it's up to us in this world we live in to become the difference for so many people. With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. I was having a good time out there watching the children, the kids, and young people play ball and have fun. Because it's our personality, I don't want to lose. I don't want to strike out. I don't want to slip and fall. Especially the older I get, I sure don't want to fall. I asked a couple of young ladies, I said, are you sore tonight? And they said, a little bit. And I said, well, I'm glad for you because I'm a whole lot. Human nature is something that we have to just deal with. And I'm going somewhere tonight because there's a place in the Spirit that the Holy Ghost wants us to really look at ourselves. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I believe that if we could humble ourselves and really look in the mirror and really relate to each other, you may be having a good day, a marvelous day. But your husband or wife may be having one of those days where they got off on the wrong side of the bed. Your boss at work, it's the same thing. But as Christians and Bible believers, we have to work on ourselves every day, continually. There's one body. I have preached this before, I think 8 or 9 times in teaching. One Spirit, even as it is you're called, in one hope of your calling. And of course, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and hopefully in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm going to skip down to 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I will be coming back to that verse in a moment, moving forward. Job 23:13. Job replies, where is God? Where is my God? Where is the one God? Where's the God that give me all I have? He was asking that question because he was having a rough day. It wasn't just a rough day, it was a rough period of life. It was a process. It goes on in Romans 12, 1 through 21. I preached that before. I'm just getting the key 3 points. In verse 1 to 2, it says, a living sacrifice. I believe 3 to 8 was the gift of grace, or gifts of grace. And then 9 through 21, the marks of true grace. I will not take the time to read those scriptures tonight because I want to move forward. 1 Peter 3 and 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. If you have the privilege to say it, I want you to look at somebody and tell them, all in one mind. Husbands and wives are looking at each other kind of a little funny there. He wants us to all be in one mind. That's what the Bible says. But he didn't stop there. He said, having compassion, one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Made a statement to a Christian the other day. I said, well, I just got a question for you. They said, what's that? How can you be in unity of the Spirit and all in one mind when we have multiple complexes of division, or should I say separation, from the Word of God? I am trying to be humble and be as Christ and be in unity with what the Word says. How can I have division? How can I have separation? How can I be in oneness with God when God is love? If you have all to get somebody, how can you be in unity with the Holy Ghost? Just let it sink in tonight. If we have something of our past, how can we be in unity with the Holy Ghost when it's still there? There is one moment of time when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when we had to have everything in order. Everything had to be under subjection to God, to the Word of God, to the will of God. Forgiveness had to be given. Hello? I want us to think about this tonight. I'm going to take my time, but I won't take too much time. But there's got to be a place where we think about what God has given us. If He give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we spoke in tongues as the Spirit give utterance, we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ according to the book of Acts, and we experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost. At that split second, there was purity, perfection, unity, and oneness with God. But then we allow the flesh to allow people's personalities to come against us. And we develop a disunified spirit with a unified fleshly spirit. Now that just hit me. I'll say, yes, Lord. There's things I realize in unity, and someone made a statement, an elder said, well, I think I'm a little too old to learn. I said, if you're too old to learn, then they probably put a little dirt on top of your box. Because if we ever stop trying to learn, it's too late. I believe that God wants the church, the body of Christ, to have such a spirit of unity. Well, Brother McLean, it's easy for you to say you're a preacher. Really? You're looking at somebody here that battles unity, battles the flesh, battles personalities, battles attitudes, battles all these things, and I have to repent every day multiple times. I keep saying that because somebody's got to get a hold of this with me. We've all got to understand that there's something called unity, which is in the Word of God, And it's the most powerful complex to the body when we become one. State of being one in Webster. I'm not reading it all. Oneness, unity, made consent of simply substance of existing being as the soul, but constituting a body detached from other bodies, but unifying in one individual, but yet in separate beings with one purpose, one mind, one goal. The expression of weariness we deal with in our world today becomes frustration. And I feel that in the church of God, people are wanting to do something, but we get weary. If I recollect in my Bible, it says, you don't be weary in well-doing. May I just transpose, because Brother Huntley did it once for me. If you get weary, just stand, recollect, redirect, make up your mind, and go forward. I don't know about you, but I can't stop. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to be careful with my attitude. I said, well, Brother McLean said, he's just going to pop off and get mad. I didn't say that. I'm not going to get careful with it because I want to make sure that my attitude strives to stay within the will of God. Now, I'm talking about stuff I talked to the Lord about this afternoon. I said, Lord, I got to have a lot of help on my attitude. I know all of you are holy now. Pastor's up here I'm repenting in front of you. I got to have a lot of help on my attitude. Attitude, what brings disunity? Personalities is what brings disunity. But I got to get the attitude of understanding that I know the Word says this, and I didn't do it, so I got to repent. Lord, forgive me for having a bad attitude. Well, I got offended. Brother so-and-so made a remark about something. We got to quit wearing our sleeve. Our feelings on our sleeves. Our sleeves on our feelings. That sounded pretty good. I bet you won't forget that one. Unity is something that God designed. God wishes for, but he cannot demand it. He can give us the word to live our lives by, but it's something that's got to move into a realm where we desire it. We can't live without it. That's why it's imperative that the body have the body. Because the body without the body cannot have the strength to survive. I've got to be careful in my position to not offend others or cause disunity. The more I prayed on that, I couldn't get away from it this afternoon, Brother Gantz. The Lord really talked to me this morning in prayer personally. And I told him and Clinton, I said, there's something about offending others because of my problem with unity in the first place. Well, tell me what you mean, Brother McLean. I got to take into consideration everybody else's feelings. I got to try to understand everybody else if I'm really going to be unified. I only had two rights on that, but I guess I was right twice. We'll repeat that again. I got to be careful how I position myself so that I don't offend others because it brings disunity to the body. Personal agendas has nothing to do with unity. Personal preferences has nothing to do with unity. Personal likeness. The phrase of words that I use is sometimes becoming disunifying to the brothers and sisters in the Lord, or even to the waitress at the restaurant. I'll get it out in a minute. Got to rebuke that spirit in here. Everybody has a bad day. I just keep getting back on that. Everybody has a bad day. Some people have bad months. Some people have bad years. I guess I'll go a little further. Some people have bad lives. Hello? But Jesus didn't come to those that was perfected and perfect. He come to all of us sinners that needed him. Ephesians 4 and 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a perfect woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When I read that again, just leave that scripture up there if you will, please. When I read that today again and I started looking at this and I have read this and preached from it, but the last three words in that scripture, should I say the last five, statue of the fullness of Christ. This is the impounding thought that hit me this afternoon. We cannot come to full unity until we have fullness of God in us. If I don't have him in me, I cannot be in unity. But I've got to have totally God. Not totally Orlet. I've got to have totally God. Christian unity. Number one is the oneness of faith. The oneness of knowledge. Number two. This signifies practical acquaintance or what you sometimes term a saving knowledge of Christ. Oneness of aim or object, seeking to become perfect men in Christ, seeking to become perfect women in Christ, full-grown men, full-grown women, to attain the standard of perfection, both in strength and beauty in the universe. I know this is a little compound, but I want to just keep going with some of the things that God has showed me through the writings of others and the commentary of what unity is all about. It's the hour for the church to become in such a unity in this last hour that the Christian stability is not just a title, but it becomes a process within the deity of God. When I move into that realm of God, there's something that takes a hold of me, and my flesh is put under subjection to the Spirit of God and to the will of God. Can I just meddle a little bit for a second? There's some things that we've got to take into consideration. There's things in life that we do that is a want. It is a desire. Brother Long was telling me he is making money doing some special things that he's acquired. I think they call that a hobby. Is that right? Intricate painting of intricate pieces. Putting it all together and making it something that's beautiful. Some people want beautiful things, but they don't know how to put them things together. In my small ability as a carpenter or as a contractor, there's people that will pay large sums of money to put something together. And there's men in here that are engineers and designers. They are paid their living and their livelihood because they know what they know. And they become good at what they know. But there's some things that we have that's called hobbies that's not a living. There's some things that's called wants that's not a living. Hello. I'm going somewhere. But there's things that we develop. There's men in this room that like to hunt. I'm talking about animals. Don't take that the wrong way now. There's some people like to golf. There's a lot of women in here who like to shop. Boy, it's weak in here tonight. Praise God. Well, I'll get all of you. There's a lot of people in here who like to spend money. Praise God. But if we're not careful, there's something that will steal our ability to be in fullness with Christ and dwell in unity because of the things that the flesh brings into our lives, and we surrender ourselves to the things, whether it be hobbies, wants, or desires. How does my wants and desires affect you? I want you to think about that. Gentlemen, you're going out on that big deer hunt, you plan it, you save money, and boy, you got the camo and the war paint and the bow or the gun and everything's ready, and you spent that money, and it's your boy's or daughter's their birthday, granddaughter's birthday. Well, I already planned it. I'm going out there anyway. Boy, it gets quiet in here. The reflection of reality becomes a process within our minds when it's shown to us in a panoramic view where we can envision what God is talking about, unity. I guess I could say it this way: there's more divorce in the Christian church right now than there ever has been because we do not understand and we do not relate in unity and in oneness. I'm going to hurry and move on. I felt that bump there. Christian men are not like children in weakness, waywardness, and much is peculiar in a childhood, but to be strong, robust, fixed, set in their religious belief and manner of life, showing that their faith had so enwrought itself within the very fiber of their spiritual life as to impart moral stamina, enabling them to stand like men. If you will, paraphrase that into the woman's statue, it's the same. Let them stand as women, as godly women, not to be tossed with the feeble things like children. But the apostle's figure supposed or supplied something more than that. But he thought of the childish weakness tossed about with every wind, suggests the ideal of drifting, unmanageable ship, dismasted and without a rudder or compass, driven by every wind of doctrine, a plot that's there, things that come. And as the ability as a pastor, I can only do what I can do, but you've got to do the rest. The Word of God gives us a very directness and a direct word and guideline that we are to be men and women seeking to follow after the process of God, the will of God. We're living in a world that their vessels are tossed to and fro. They have no direction. They're trying. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for peace. In the Christian world, there's people desiring for more of God, but they have not yet received the revelation. Hence, God desires that all Christians to be united in the grand varieties of the gospel. Vigorous in faith. We'll say it again. Vigorous. What does that mean? I'm talking about a vitality. But the world has stepped into the church and taken away our ability to have that emotional feeling of stability. It's because we got to go back to that place where there's an unwavering spiritual knowledge in the Word of God. And in our prayer life, that God, when I leave prayer, it's not about my problem. When I leave prayer, it's not about just another day to live in this world, but I've got to have a vitality and relationship and spirit of the anointing of God that will move me into a place that when I walk into that restaurant, when I walk into my job, people sense Christian stability. If I could say it this way to everybody in this building, in a very trying to be compassionate and loving tonight as I can, but we're living in a world where Christianity does not mean anything. I'm not gossiping. I'm not talking bad about anybody. Don't start that, devil. You're a liar. I'm talking about we as the body of Christ Let's just take the word Christianity out of it. Let's look at ourselves as we, as people that are trying to do the things of God. We've got to have something inside of us that becomes a reflection of God. That the unity that Jesus Christ exemplified in our world, where we understand and realize that God wants something more than you just to profess it. He wants us to possess it. He wants it to possess us. He wants it to embody us. We got to be firm. We got to be fixed, unwavering in mind, heart, faith, and life. The doctrine then that comes out here is that the Christian stability, steadfastness. You heard me, I said steadfastness, not stupidity. Not justifiably. But we've got to move into that realm where I'm going to grow to the point that there is a place that I know that I know that I know. I may get up on the wrong side of the bed, but it's still just a bed. I might stumble and fall, but God give me the strength and the energy to get back up again. Why is there a stability and growth? It's because when we keep growing, it's development. When we stop growing, we're dying. We become unmovable. We become unshakable. That's why I believe the Holy Ghost has given me a release to preach on unity. Because the revival that's already started. I'm going to keep saying it. The revival that's already started is only going to grow and intensify when we all say, I haven't reached where God wants me yet. Because when I reach where God wants me to reach, I'll be there in heaven. But as long as I'm in this world, I'm called and mandated to be more unified than I've ever been before. I've got to grow. I've got to strengthen. I've got to grow up in Him. I got to say this way. Growth is gradual. You ever lifted weights before and you try to go in there and lift up that 500 pounds and you hadn't picked up 20 yet? Good luck. I saw a picture of that one time. It was in a comedy magazine. This guy was, he's about 95 pounds. And boy, he had his headband on and he was ready and had on his shirt. Man, he was puffed up. He's standing in front of the mirror and he do like that. And you look and you go, what is he doing? He was already dreaming of something that he wasn't. And beside him, there's this huge guy, and the guy's looking at him saying, you need some help? It's time for us to understand growth is gradual. Just because you receive the Holy Ghost, that's one step. But the principle is it proceeds. A child does not become a man the day he wakes up and opens his eyes and says, hey, Mom, how's it going? Shall I tell you what you need from the doctor's office today? But instead, it's that crying, moaning, groaning, uncontrolled attitude spirit of the little child. The whines and the cries and the whining and all these things, and we have to understand this. And the reason I bring this out tonight is because the Lord kind of showed it to me today. He said, hey, quit worrying about the crybabies. Really? Quit worrying about those that are still crawling. Well, God, when they gonna get up? Time takes time. They gotta keep on. You keep on preaching, and I'll make sure they're running. It's not reared by one single supreme effort, but there's something called the oak tree of maturity in a single day. It don't happen. But he made this statement, line upon line, layer upon layer, here a little, there a little. Are the lines upon which all things move. In the era of maturity and perfection is reached by every single step of life, continually growing, progression, development. Whatever else you may please to call it, this goes as a great governing law It's the same principle tonight about unity. I believe with all my heart we got to reach out to everybody. We've got to reach out to each other. We've got to let each other know I am behind you. We've got to have each other. I'm hurrying. Don't give up yet. Got to have that unity. The growth is consistent day and night, summer and winter and storm and calm. The principle is the operation. It may appear sometimes to good many men that there's no progress. I can't see anything registered. It just seems like it's all there, but it's never there. There's no flesh, no fresh blooms. There's no fresh blossoms. It's just like it's just a green thing standing there drinking water, enjoying the breeze. I wonder how God looks at us. He called us to be in unity and win the world. Our greatest commandment is to win the lost. The most successful periods of life is when the roots are going deeper, spreading wider, in preparation of the rich foliage and the fruitage in the future. But there's always one simple thing that always comes out to me. It's always growing. Though not always giving the same outward indications of growth. But this is the law of God's kingdom. I made a statement just recently, just a few moments ago, about us needing each other. We've got to energize ourselves in a world that takes so much time to help each other. We got to reach out to some that we've never been friends with. We got to become friends with them. Come on now. But McLean personalities just don't work together. I can't do that. I'm sorry. If you get more of God, less of you. More of God, less of me. There's some growth that's silent. It's unperceivable. You can't see it. You can't hear it. When it's in operation, you can't hear it. But growth is one of the most forceful, effective forces in nature. Growth. Would you hear me tonight? Growth. It's one of the most effectual, fervent types of growth in nature. But yet it's the most silent. Because if you stand close to the tree with your ear against the tree, you cannot hear it growing. If I look at you in every service and I see the same person every time, but I don't really know anything about you. If I love you and you're my brother and my sister and I spend enough time praying for you, then I will get that answer and I will get that knowing and knowledge from God. Growing up in Christ and the head of all things, upward growth is a marked specialty of the Christian life. Aspiration is the thought. Upward, heavenly, heavenward is the Christian watchword. As a Christian cohesion, the church is likened to the human body. A few points of reference is the fitness of position and work. I love this. Fitly joined. Hello? The body fitly joined. So it is in the church when it's under the entire government or governments of the master. Every man occupies his own place and does the work for which it was fitted by gifts and opportunity. Brother Long, the more I read this today and was really looking at it, is the unity of the body, everybody has to do their part. Because we're designed by God to be fitly joined together. There's a compactness, fitly joined and compacted together. Heart, mind, sympathy, principle, motive, aspiration, wishes. so closely blended together as it become one heart, one mind. I can't even make a good heartbeat. That don't sound like nothing, does it? One drive. When we take ownership of the body and the church, this is our church. It's not my church. This is God's church, but I'm a part of God's church. But this is a facility God has given us as a body that we're responsible for. And we're to fill it up. Fill it up. We have gifts. We have things. There's beautiful things in this building tonight. That there be no difference in the body. No weaknesses in the body. No cancer in the body. The more I thought about that, I just started sitting here staring at the compactness of the body. Heart, mind, body, soul, spirit. But when I take that and flip it over and I start thinking about the body deals with so many sicknesses. How many times does a headache keep you home? Pastor, not beating nobody up tonight, I'm just bringing stuff to our mind. How many times does a sore back keep you at home and these elements of the body? And how many sicknesses are in this world we live in? We'll give you a little note there. Dr. Surge and Sister McClain may not like me after this. Dr. Quinney, you know, these doctors make a living by helping people with the body. But if you really start paying attention to the Word of God, and you start reading and referencing the Word and cross-referencing, we realize very quickly that most sicknesses that are in the body are self-appointed. But there's something about the body, the glory of its head, who is Christ. Here also, the mutual aid by that which is every joint supplieth, helping together, is the thought every joint contributing to its share so as to promote the general good of the whole body. I'm talking about promoting each other to betterment. One faith. Some think the variety of religions. I am copying this point out of a book by a great Church of Christ man. Some think variety of religions as pleasing to God as variety of flowers. Now, there can be but one religion which is true. And the God of truth cannot be pleased with the falsehood for the sake of variety. The designs of Christian ministry, going back to that one faith, there's something in us, church, that I want everybody to understand, every saint of God in this building, every individual, that if there's one body, as I've referenced in these scriptures tonight, if there's one body, inside that one body, there cannot be one cord of disunity. I guess it was early in last year when I was preaching about unity. Before revival started, the Holy Ghost was really pushing on me about some things, and I told people to leave where you are and go find somebody that you don't like. Everybody's looking at each other like, well, I like everybody. No, but I'm talking about there's people that you just can't get along with. Some of them are already talking to people right now. I want you to be honest with yourself. Is there somebody you just don't really care to be around? Let me ask you why. Well, it's just a personality. They just don't shut up. Well, it's getting personal, man. Pastor, what's up with this? No, there's a thing called unity. It's one of the most prominent things in the church of the living God. If God Almighty looked at us as we look at our brothers and sisters, what would he see? We go back to thinking about what happened in the day of when they started talking to him. So you just sat with, you know, you sat with all those bad people. You don't even want to have little months with us, publicans and sinners and all them bad people. What did Jesus tell them? He said, you don't have a need from me. You're holier than thou. I come to those that need me. Obviously, if I can't get along with somebody, I got to work on Orland. I'm going to give all of you an escape tonight. I'm working on Orland a lot of folks. But we are designed as the Christian ministry. That word comes up, and a while ago I kind of negated it because of the misinterpretation of just saying I'm a Christian. What is a Christian? To bring Christians to the unity of the faith, that is to bring Christianity into that one mind, one body, one spirit, gives us the introduction to the unity of faith. To bring Christians to the knowledge of Christ, there's one God. To bring Christians to the perfecting of the Christian character. I cannot be in any way trying to be perfected if I'm not in oneness with Him. Therefore, when I become in oneness with Him in completion, then I become in unity of the Spirit. And with unity of the Spirit, I am humble. I'm broken. I'm willing to change. I'm wanting to change. I'm wanting to be in that place where anybody could be with me. Even Tux. It's good to be around people you don't really like. Hello? It's really good to be around people you don't like. Why? Because it helps us realize. Because we always point fingers at them, but you know what? You got three pointing back at you. Most of the time, anytime something's wrong with somebody, it's always my fault anyway. I've got to get to that place where I admit that. And I look at it. Because it's time for the church to be in unity as never before. We're in the last hour. The last hour. And this is the hour for the church to be intoxicated with unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit. One Spirit. The Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm running down the very last three scriptures. Then henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men or cunningness or craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. The apostle was telling us right there, by speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him in all things. Hallelujah. That tells me right there that I'm not grown up yet, but I'm getting there. And as long as I can stay in him, if I can keep traveling with him and keep seeking him every day, that's when I'm going to be fitly joined together and be able to move in that realm of the Holy Ghost and help somebody else make it to heaven. To look at your neighbor and tell them, unity. You said, by your wife, say, honey bun, it's unity. Come on now. I'm going to ask you, I want us to do it again tonight. Repercussion again, because I feel there's something moving in the spirit. There's a door open. There's a door open that all you've got to do is walk through it. I'm talking about spiritually. It's not going to be a struggle to get there. You got a made up mind. You can go. We close in just 30 seconds. I want us to do something tonight. I want us to be comical. Does anybody know how to be comical? Hello? I want you to move outside your box, which is your normal 35 people that you talk to. Hello? I want us to mingle for a few minutes. I cut it short. 38 minutes, man, I'm through teaching. I had 12 more pages. I could have kept going. But I want us to move around outside of our normal box of comfort. And I want you to go up to somebody and just tell them, I don't like you. Sister Debbie Long looked at me and she goes, no. But I wasn't through. Brother Long, I got to pick on her. That's just like a woman. You're not through talking. They're already trying to tell you it's wrong. I had to pick on her. I want you to tell them, I don't like you. I love you. See, there, I got you. Some of you was already praying for Pastor. I was getting hospice to introduce bad spirits in this place. I believe we got to say that from our heart, because I want to be in unity with the Word of God and what God's doing in this place, and that is revival in this last hour. We're going to have a boldness that's going to come on us, and it's going to come on us in prayer and the Word, and there's going to be revelation you've never seen. Amen? Praise God. I want us to do so tonight and just have fun for a few minutes, not lifting off of this unity, but taking it home with us and thinking on it, praying on it, asking God to help us become unified as we've never been before. There's things that's happening in the church, I promise you. Don't you even start thinking that. Because there's roots going deeper. There's growth that's coming. But it's not overnight. God's allowing us to put some things in order so that when it does come, no matter what the wind is, we're going to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We're going to be ready. Amen. A little over $5,000 come in for the sound system. I don't know exactly what it's going to be until Brother Oye's here. I know it's a little more than that, but hey, thank God for what's here. Looking forward for a great response. All the things I talked to Brother Cochran, Randy Cochran today, most likely that funeral will be next week, not this week, according to all the process that's going on and, of course, the schedule and a holiday this week. But I just want you to understand there's a lot of stuff going on the next 3 weeks at this church. We're excited. Don't forget, the week before peak, that Saturday night, we have church. Sunday morning and Sunday night, then we don't have church that week through the midweek. If you're online, that's the week of peak. This facility will be used on Tuesday all day for music practice, and on the story goes. God bless you tonight, and be sure and be in prayer for Sister Creel's family in the loss of this great soldier in the Lord. Amen? Come on, tell somebody you don't like them, but tell them you love them. Don't leave that last three. You got to say those last three words. If they don't, lay hands on them and pray for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lay hands on them and pray for them. Go in Jesus' name. Don't forget Sunday, Apostolic Holy Ghost Explosion. We're coming back looking for revival. Invite somebody to church.